today on Real Radio.
We don't do well without guardrails. We need protection. And God's desire regarding his will is to protect you. Oh man, I feel like doing this. Not always a good idea.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series now called Anchored, a study in 1 Peter, with a message called Suffering the Will of God, Part 3. You know, the Apostle Peter was a disciple of Christ, of course, who later on became the leader of the first church. Peter unpacks for us the importance of our witness to this world. Until God rights all wrongs, we have a job to do, and our most compelling response to this challenge is to love the way Jesus loved, because love covers all. Previously, we saw how it's God's will that we have the right attitude about suffering and sin. We tend to have a pampered view of life, and suffering is a bad thing. But there's nothing greater for the Christian to be like Christ, even in his sufferings. Our old self was crucified with Christ, which gives us the power and the victory over sin. So today, on day two of this message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that as believers, the only passion we're to wake up to is to do the will of God. The world is bound up in all kinds of sin and immorality, but there's freedom in following Christ, whose love is boundless. And his will for us, well, it's for our benefit. And now in his message called Suffering the Will of God, Part 3, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Listen, not dealing with hurt the right way, not dealing with rejection or not dealing with pressure. Maybe you were fine, but then you got that high-powered job and it sounded cool for the first 2 hours, right? And then they told you that you've got to produce a couple $1 million a year or you're going to be in trouble. And you start biting your nails, you got ulcers, you get sick to your stomach, you've got IBS, everything's falling apart. And what do? Instead of finding Christ to give you peace, you pick up a bottle and you think Jim Beam's going to help you or Jack Daniels will get you through. And they don't. They make it worse. And so you become a functioning alcoholic because you're hiding and you're running. And Jesus says to you, you come to me. If your life is heavy laden and burdened, you come to me and I'll give you rest. People will say things like this, dude, don't tell me how to live. I'll do whatever I want. It's my body. It's my world. Well, then do it by yourself. And oh, by the way, don't get behind the wheel of a car because now you involve me and my grandkid. You can't legislate morality. Have you ever heard that before? One of the stupidest statements ever made. You can't legislate morality. Are you kidding me? Where did you hear that? Can someone tell me what the speed limit is on the freeway right now?
65?
That's slow, huh? Still 65? 65. That's legislating morality. Did you know that? Did you know it's immoral to go over 65 on the freeway? Did you know that? It's a crime. You can kill people. Did you know that if you drink and drive, you're legislating morality by making that illegal because it can kill people? Think of it. Oh, yes, you do legislate morality every day. It's not right for a man to beat his wife. Amen. That's legislating morality. Amen. We do it all the time. And here people will say, I want to do whatever I want to do. Just know this. You don't live in a bubble. Others are affected. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, regarding that kind of thinking, Matthew 7, 13, Jesus said, enter in by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way that leads to life, and there are few who find it. That's a strong statement, is it not? See, man, that's near. I want to do my own thing. It's a free country. You can do your own thing. Just know this. Jesus says this is his thing. His thing is narrow is the way that leads to eternal life. Few people find it. It's straight. And there's a gate. You want to know what heaven's immigration policies are? It's narrow. There's walls around the heaven, the Bible says. And there's a gate. And Jesus said to get into the gate, he has to be the way, the truth, and the life, or no man comes to the Father but through me, he said. That's what he said. See, man, that's so narrow. It's so narrow. Of course it's narrow. He died for you on the cross. That wasn't some joke. It is narrow. Yes. Things that are precious are narrow. Yes. And Jesus said that he was the resurrection and the life. Yes. And Jesus said, be careful. A lot of people are running down a path that seems right to them. The book of Proverbs says there's a way that seems right to a man, but that way ends in death. And Jesus comes on the scene and says, I am the way of eternal life. Liberty. I'm free from the things that used to bind me up. Free. Some people wake up and they're plotting how they can fulfill their desires and their passions at anyone's expense. And that's a terrible way to live. And then secondly, look at verse 4, convictions. Understanding who we are now as believers is that there's the conviction of you. The very conviction. When I say conviction, I mean what you stand for as a believer. The Christian takes a stand for the kingdom of God. Listen, this I love this. What are your convictions? What I love about having convictions, a friend of mine from LA area saw First Service and said, you know, boy, you're really being bold. And I didn't realize that. And then it answered exactly what we're looking at here at the latter end of the second argument here is about convictions. Listen, convictions are things that don't waver. And you don't have to have many. Did you know that? You don't have to have many convictions. They govern your life. They're like a fence. Many years ago, Dr. James Dobson gave the data regarding a study of children that were basically parentless. They had parents, but the parents didn't speak into their lives or discipline them or love them or correct them or encourage them. And these kids were just insecure and terrified. And they turned them loose in a schoolyard. And what would you think, turning a bunch of kids that were left alone to themselves in a big schoolyard? You know what they did? They wound up gravitating in the middle of the schoolyard to one another. They got away from the fences that were far, far beyond, and they got real close to one another, and they had a little world that was within their proximity, and that's where they felt safe. And then they brought in portable fences, and they put, I don't know what it was, 30 by 30 fences, and they put the kids in the fences, and the kids were much more bold, much more excited, much more happy. Think about it. We don't do well without guardrails. We need protection. And God's desire regarding his will is to protect you. Oh man, I feel like doing this. Not always a good idea. And God will speak to you. Now watch this regarding convictions. Verse 4 says, in regard to these, that is those who do and those sins, both combined, the sin and the sinner of those things of the past, they, that is those who still do them. Maybe you're here today and you're still doing these things. The Bible says, they think it's strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil, or the word blaspheming you. They blaspheme you. They get every chance they'll slander you. How does this happen? Look at the word strange. You need to mark this down. The word strange here means that they're surprised. Watch this, everyone. Strange. In fact, xeno. Have you ever heard of the xeno? Like a xenophobe. It comes from this word, strange. They think you're strange. And the word means curiously strange for a moment. They think when they hear about you no longer having drunken parties with them and orgies with them and all that stuff they used to do with them, they who practice those things hear that you don't now, they are thinking you're strange. And it goes like this. The word means, whoa, wow, really? How curious, amazing, short-lived, done with that. They want to know now why. It's a, woo! Wait, what? That's what it means. Very colorful. So many of us know what this is like. You give your heart to Christ. For me, it was a Monday night, 42 years ago. Give your heart to Christ. Then, and eventually during the week, you got to tell your friends. my friends from junior high all the way through, my friends. And it goes like this, and I love the accuracy of the Bible. I love it. It's this word. So, Jack, you want to come with us? When? Saturday. I don't know. Well, what do you mean? What do you mean you have to work? No, I became a Christian on Monday night. Wow. Well, I thought you said you became a Christian on Monday night. Anyway, you want to come with us? You know what I'm talking about? No, I did. Come on. Hey, Mike, listen. Jack said he became a Christian on Monday night. Now, just put a sock in it and meet us there at 8 o'clock. Do you hear what I'm saying?
Yes.
No, listen, guys, no. What? It goes from what to what? They think it's strange. So wait a minute, what? You're not going to go with us now? What are you, some sort of a holy roller now? Well, aren't you self-righteous? Who made you the Pope? Did you hear all that stuff? I did. No, you guys should come to me, come with me to church. Church, now you want us to go with you. They go from surprise to a short-lived curiosity to you're strange. You're strange. Ladies and gentlemen, to be labeled strange by this world is one of the greatest compliments you could ever receive from the world. Jesus was strange. Jesus was strange. The way this world lives, Jesus was strange. The way this world lives, you and I are strange. They don't get it. I didn't get it. You didn't get it before you were a Christian. Bunch of weirdos, Jesus freaks. Listen, right now, people are driving down the freeway looking down at this building, parking lot's full, and you know what they're saying? Look at those stupid people. It's 1 o'clock in the afternoon. They should be at the bars by now. And look at them, they're at church. They left their brains at home and they went to church. You know the stuff they say. They think we're strange. I get it. They're shocked that you and I don't run with them anymore. The word run here is to be yoked to, connected. You know, running together like a pack of wolves. Come on, let's go. And off you go. And you can see the party hats flying and the beer foam going every which way. And they're running. Where are you going? We have no idea, but we're having a ball. And you see those big Clydesdale Budweiser horses. Now, they look awesome, but they're pulling together, right? They're pulling that big thing of beer. I guess it's beer. I don't even know what's in that thing. But the horses are together, and they're moving, and it looks spectacular. And then as they pan by, you say, what are the beautiful horses? And then you see these drunk guys driving the... And you think of being yoked together like that. Come on, let's go. Where are we going? I don't know. Let's just go. Let's tear it up. And you're running. And then you get saved, and you can't... No, I'm not going to do that anymore. They are angry now at you because you have a conviction. God's touched your heart. And you don't know exactly why you're taking a stand, but you can't do it anymore. And you lovingly try to reach out to your friends, and they freak. We had an experience. Our nation has had this experience and is having it. Last week, I want to show you this newspaper or this news clip. You probably heard about in the news. One World Trade Center, the tower, lit up in pink to celebrate New York abortion law. Have you read this law? Do you know anything about this law? Ladies and gentlemen, the first law of its kind previously was in the state of Illinois. It was the most violent abortion legislation in the history of the United States in Illinois. But that wasn't enough. Now that there's new powers in places since this last election, these people got together in New York and they have crafted the most dangerous abortion laws. A baby, perfectly healthy baby being born, can now be killed in the operating or delivery room in New York. And if that wasn't enough, Virginia. And now we have California senators talking about it since it's come out that want to do the same thing. Understand something. This is very important. You know anything about the history of abortion in America and the world for that matter? Margaret Sanger, Eugenics Foundation to Planned Parenthood, agenda, exterminate black people. And what's happening? You've got Democrats all over across the nation now. Let's kill babies. If the mother at birth says, I don't want this baby now, change my mind, baby dead. Not baby up for adoption, not baby allowed to live, baby dead. You think God looks down from heaven? God is looking down from heaven. Next slide. Shameful and demonic. Five pastors, faith leaders condemn New York abortion law. And now look, this is amazing to me. The pro-law people stand, listen, I'm sorry, but I think I'm pretty logical. The sign says stand up for full women's equality. What in the world does that have to do with the value of a human baby? I'm sorry, I don't get it. I don't get it. No, Pastor, read the little white sign next to it. It explains it. No, it makes it worse. Your body, your choice. Of course it's your body and your choice. I'm the one. You don't tell me what to do with my body, and I'm not going to tell you what to do with your body. You see, we talk about choice, and we talk about rights. We're talking about this issue too late. It's my choice. I have the right to my own body. True, until you're pregnant. I can't believe you said that. I'll say it again. True until you're pregnant, because the moment you're pregnant, there's another human being inside of you. It's not your body. It's not your body. It's not your body. It's a miracle. You have a human in you. And now Harvard Med is telling us now that previously unknown, now they realize, now they have the technology to say and to see that a child experiences pain and suffering in weeks after conception. If you're pregnant, you have an alien inside of you. It's another human, completely separate DNA. And if, by the way, a murderer breaks into your house tonight and kills you, a pregnant woman, that man goes to jail for killing two people. Look how deceiving this is. Ensuring full and equal access to reproductive health care. Reproductive health care. What do you think reproductive health care is? What does reproductive mean? Reproduce. You see how the dialogue is twisted and people who are not thinking, they get swept away with it. Next slide. Keep your laws off our bodies. That's not exactly true. Because if somebody was beating up on your body, there's a law to protect you.
That's right.
Next one. Oh, God saw this. When the law passed in New York City, they turned the Empire State Building pink because pink was the color that they chose to celebrate this new law. Pink. Somebody said on ABC News that from a distance, the Empire State Building looked like a giant syringe. God have mercy on America that celebrates the passing of a law that kills children. Here's my point. For you to say, I believe in the rights of the unborn child, you're strange. Who are you to impose your views upon us? They say to you. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20 says, woe unto those who call evil good and good evil, who put light for darkness and bitter for sweet. Today, there's a group that want to talk about life and be kind and be compassionate, and they turn right around and they exterminate a child. This is demonic doctrine, ladies and gentlemen. It's from the pit. Satan hates human beings. When are we going to wake up to that? And there's teams, and you need to pick a team. One is of life. I'm not talking about a political party. I'm talking about heaven or hell. I'm talking about Jesus Christ who gives life versus the rotten devil of the Bible who takes life. And the world is divided. We need to remember that. They think it's strange. The same people, they don't think it's strange that they're cheating on their wives or husbands. They don't think that's strange. They don't think, listen, if you are abusing your child, they don't think it's strange. If you're hooked on drugs or alcohol, they don't think it's strange. But the moment you say, I'm no longer hooked on alcohol, I'm no longer beating my wife, I've been set free by Jesus, they say, you're strange. Are you hearing me? Our world has gone mad. Convictions. And so, third and final point found in verses 5-6 is that, ladies and gentlemen, family, suffering the will of God, we rejoice because we're living, you and I are living, listen, a never-ending life. You need to remember that. What if I die? You can't. Even if you die, you don't die. The Christian should be the most anointed risk taker. We really should. We play it so safe. I could prove it to you if I wanted to. Could you imagine if we just said, hey, let's all sign up. We're going to go to Iraq and help the Kurds. Let's go, all of you. I bought a ticket for all of you. Let's go. I think I left a pot roast in the oven, I think. You know what I'm saying? Instead of thinking, well, maybe God's in this. He bought us a ticket. Let's go. See what happened. We played so safe. We need to be bold. Listen, we live forever. By the way, read the fine print. The Bible's very clear. The Bible says everybody lives forever. Once they're born, they live forever. All people. Heaven and hell are forever, it says. The Bible says that we live eternally. But for the believer I'm speaking about today, we learn in verse 5 that you and I live in light of the coming judgment. It says they will give an account. They're going to have to answer to God for their conduct. They're going to have to answer to God for their New York legislation. The word there says to him who is ready. Circle the word ready. That's a terrifying word. The word means that his hand is on the lever. Does that scare you? God, the word means that that God's hand is on the lever. He's getting ready to pull it. I don't know what comes to your mind about that, but God's hand is on the lever and he's just waiting for people to turn to him. But there's a coming judgment for both for the believer that has nothing to do with entering heaven, but the believer is going to be judged for the opportunities we had for Jesus. And then there's the judgment in Revelation chapter 20 of those he's speaking about here, that there's no hope at that judgment. All of your life, the Bible, Jesus said, every person's word and thought will be manifest in front of them that they've had in their life. And you'll be alone with God. And without Jesus, it's hell.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in his message called Suffering the Will of God, Part 3. So glad you joined us today, and we pray that you'll always be overwhelmed by grace rather than the cares of this life. Suffering the Will of God, Part 3. It's part of Pastor Jack's series called Anchored, a study in 1 Peter, a series that takes us through the life and times of the Apostle Peter, whose love for Jesus Christ carried him through great persecution, and whose compassion for others still inspires us today. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, life's battles usually take us into uncharted territory. And this year, well, it's been no exception. We've been hit on every side, it seems like, and everyone has felt the effects in one way or another. Nothing has really gone as expected. So, in anticipation of the coming new year, we're offering some inspiration and hope, and there's nothing like the Holy Scriptures to both comfort us and direct our path. And it's why we're offering the New King James One-Year Bible for December's Book of the Month. This best-selling one-year Bible guides you through the entire Bible in as little as 15 minutes a day. The New King James Version, it's very easy to understand, and the One-Year Bible divides God's Word into daily readings from both the Old and New Testament, along with Psalms and Proverbs. The New King James One-Year Bible is yours for a gift of any amount, and you'll find it right there at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And if you need to get a hold of us, call us, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.